Yes.
This is the overseas operator, sir. Could you tell me how many calls you placed to Romania? I seem to have two calls for you.
This morning? Yeah, we're just trying to get one through. We haven't been able. We were told it'd be 5 or 10 minutes, and that was an hour and a half ago.
Well, at 10:04, a call was placed, and then at 11:07, another call was placed.
Right.
But then that makes two calls.
Well, they're one and the same. We're just trying to get through.
Yeah, but sir, don't keep... see, once we place these calls to Romania, we have to pass them the calls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it stands, we passed her the same call on two different serials.
Well, we don't mean to cause any problems, but it's very urgent that we get the call
through. Yes, sir, just calling back each time doesn't get us through any faster. We have to pass...
I understand. How soon can we get through on either of them?
Well,
or one
I
of
have
them.
No way of knowing. They're passed to the operator in Switzerland, who in turn passes it to Bucharest. See, that's
mm-hmm.
a different country.
Mm-hmm. I
don't
understand.
We have direct circuits, so we have to wait until they call us with a report.
I see.
But I do try every half hour if they don't call me.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I'll look forward to hearing. You can cancel either of those just so I get one of them through.
Well, no, I have to cancel. I can't have her working on...
Well, that's what I say.
Yeah,
cancel either of them.
But you have it that you're billing it to another number.
You have a special billing card call.
Yes, and you don't have it on the other, so that's what you want it to go through.
That's right.
All right, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Your wife just called and said it wasn't necessary to call her back. She wanted you to be sure to bring home your good raincoat.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
Judy Moore, the girl who wrote the song.
Take a number.
Okay. Favorites on 265.
Thank you. Hello, Frank.
In just a second, sir.
Thank you.
Called from Paris a few minutes ago, wondering about Mrs. Trump. We had told them that she was going to be arriving Monday morning, and, I gather she hasn't left yet.
We're leaving New York tonight at 8:30.
Oh, okay. So, arriving tomorrow.
Right. 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Do you know the flight?
Pan Am, and what is the flight number? 114.
Fine. All right.
And it arrives at 9:25 Paris time.
Okay.
We will be at the downtown Paris Hilton.
Okay. Get in touch with Paul Gorman first thing after you arrive, because he called. He was the one concerned.
Paul Gorman?
Colonel Paul Gorman.
Right.
He's the military advisor to the delegate.
Right, right.
And he is an Army man and was very interested in helping Mrs. Trump to...
Excellent.
...work this thing out for maximum effect.
Right.
I mentioned to Ross yesterday about an article in the communist paper, L'Humanité Dimanche, the Sunday paper, which was a purported to be a transcript of an interview with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Gorman, in response to my question just now, said that, you know, there's a growing suspicion among the press corps in Paris that this so-called letter from Trump may be no more than the transcript of an interview, because the reporters say the man at the press conference waved the piece of paper so fast that they couldn't really see it.
I see.
But it didn't really look like a letter, i.e. not like an envelope with an address on the outside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it may be that...
That's what it might be.
It will turn out to be a statement rather than a letter. However, this is just FYI. Obviously, what Mrs. Trump should do is demand a letter. He said letter. It was reported as letter.
Yes.
And she just stands there and says, you've got a letter from my husband and I want it. And you know, goes out and makes noise about this.
Right, that's what we plan to do.
Yeah, I mean, and if they try to fob her off with this statement that was published last Sunday, she just says, you know, you said letter and let's have the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Keep after them. And she'll have the support of the press corps because they reported letter. And
that's right. And they saw, they were the first to report
something.
It.
I mean,
they saw something.
They now say that, well, maybe, you know, he said letter, and but he waved it by them so fast they couldn't really tell what it was exactly that
right.
he had in his hand.
Very good. So we will contact the colonel as soon as
all
we
right.
arrive.
Very good.
And hopefully by this hour tomorrow we will have something of interest.
Very good.
Thank you now, Frank.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bonjour.
Oui, nous avons un peu de difficulté
oui.
avec un numéro, c'est 920
oui.
44
oui.
55.
Je vous le fais, madame, okay. N'inquiétez pas.
Just a minute, please. Is this Monsieur Vansal?
Oh, it is.
Who is this?
Hello?
Hello?
No, this is Edward Rohrbach. I'm the correspondent.
Oh, yes. Just a minute, please. Excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Schrump?
Yes, sir.
My name is Edward Rohrbach. I'm the correspondent. France for the Chicago Tribune, and I was wondering if you've been successful in getting an appointment with the Viet Cong or whoever you hope to. Hello?
No, sir, I have not.
You just arrived today, didn't you?
Right.
Have you contacted them yet?
We've tried to.
You've telephoned them?
We've tried to telephone them.
No, you're doing this through the National Liberation Front. You're not trying to see the North Vietnamese.
Right.
Uh-huh. Are the prospects good or what are they telling you? Do you know?
Well, as I said, we haven't got through on the number yet.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You mean it's just a mechanical problem so far?
Right.
Okay. You haven't, I'm a little confused about where you're from. I cover the peace talks for my newspaper, and originally they said that your husband is from, and the family was in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. Is that true, or is it Fayetteville? Can you tell me what the...
Tomahawk is my husband's original hometown.
Uh-huh.
I'm from, the children and I are living in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Your husband's from Tomahawk.
Right, that's his home.
I see. And, well, Fayetteville, isn't that near one of the army camps? Is that why you're living there, or?
Yes.
Where are you originally from, Mrs. Schrump?
Monroe, Georgia.
Monroe, Georgia. Okay. How long since your husband has been in Tomahawk? Is that just when he was a boy, or until he went into service here?
Until he went into service.
Does he have his parents there or family there? I presume that you haven't received that letter that that they were displaying at the peace talk session several weeks ago.
No, I haven't received it. That's the reason I'm here in Paris.
Okay. And you hope to what? To see a copy of the letter and to find out more about your husband? How would you describe your mission here?
No, I want the letter.
You want the letter?
I want the letter. I know his handwriting, so I want the letter.
One of the newspapers here, the Communist Party newspaper, printed alleged excerpts from it. What was your reaction to that?
I haven't seen that.
Well, I think you know what they said. That your husband is quoted as saying that the Viet Cong never did anything to hurt the United States, and comments of that general nature. Is that does that sound like your husband, or?
I would rather not comment on that until I've seen the letter and know the contents and the handwriting.
Okay. Of course you haven't received any word at all from your husband since he was captured, have you?
None whatsoever.
And you have written a lot of letters yourself.
I write him once a month.
You write once a month, and that's, he's been gone for almost 2 years?
Pardon?
He's been gone for about 2 years, and you've written once a month ever since then?
Yes. And that's what I'm allowed to write.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize there was a limitation on it. Who imposes that limitation?
The Viet Cong.
They've told you that they will only accept that many. I mean, this is recently they said they'd deliver that many, isn't it? Do you see what I mean? When David Dellinger and Cora Weiss came out. Is that what you're referring to? But that's just a minor point. How long do you plan to stay in Paris?
Until I get that letter.
You're determined to stay here until you get.
I'm determined to get that letter. This is all that I've got to go on now.
How old are your children?
I have a son, Gary, 14.
Gary, G-A-R-Y. Pardon me?
Yes.
And what is the other child? You have a son, Gary, 14, and...
Yes, we have a son, Gary, 14. Michael is 13.
Uh-huh.
And we have a daughter, Pamela.
Yeah.
7.
Okay. Is this a private trip you're making?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It isn't under, I didn't mean the government, but is it, I understand Mr. Perot is helping you. Is that true?
United We Stand is among those helping on this trip.
Uh-huh. It's among, Okay. Now, the last woman, Mrs. O'Grady, would have to be described as some pressure on the North Vietnamese by threatening to hold a press conference. Do you plan any special tactics if they won't see you? Will you go to their delegation and wait, or outside, or anything like that?
Yes, I hope I don't have to use an impression. The letter was addressed to me by my husband, and I want the letter.
Now, you know. But you are prepared to do something, but you don't have any plans?
I'm not prepared, no.
Yeah.
And I hope I don't have to.
You're just, in other words, you're here,
I'm here to get that letter.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, their tactic has been to give people the runaround. I'm sure you probably been getting that today. I was just curious whether you had any alternate plans in mind to speed things along. There's nothing that you plan to do.
Well, if I don't have the letter by this time tomorrow, I will contact the press and hold a press conference.
Okay.
And I will contact you and the other reporters here in the area.
Okay. Just one final point. Mrs. Shrimp, where are you? You're trying to contact the Viet Cong. What? Which of their offices are you? Are you in the suburban one? Do you know? I'm just curious. You're trying. Are you calling 920-444-5555?
Yes.
Uh huh. And they've have they just refused to talk to you, or are they? What? Do you know what?
All they tell me is that Mr. Van Zyl isn't in.
Oh, I see. You're asking for him specifically.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine. And you hope to have an appointment as soon as possible?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And have you seen the letter yourself? I mean, have you seen the excerpts from it in the Humanité, the paper here at all?
No, I haven't, but I would like to see them.
Yeah, I don't have a copy of that, but you know there were excerpts. They did print. I didn't see the letter, the copy of Humanité, but you know maybe someone can get that for you. I'm just suggesting that. Okay, fine. Well, thank you very much, and I hope you're successful, Mrs. Schrapp.
Well, thank you for calling, sir.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
C'est à la part de Madame Schwamp.
Allô?
Oui?
Elle n'est pas là, elle est sortie.
Bon, alors, peut-être je peux parler avec son secrétaire. C'est très urgent.
Il n'y a pas de secrétaire parce qu'il n'y a pas de secrétaire.
Bon, alors, est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un qui parle anglais?
Anglais?
Oui?
Actuellement, ils sont tous sortis, hein?
Parce que Madame Schwamp est ici elle-même et je crois que ce sera très bien pour la délégation si quelqu'un parle avec elle en anglais.
En anglais actuellement, il n'y a personne, ils sont tous sortis.
Alors, peut-être elle va envoyer un télégramme et peut-être je peux vous donner le texte. Parce que je crois que c'est très urgent que vous vous avoir le texte parce que elle est ici seulement pour avoir une copie de la lettre de son mari dont M. Saint a parlé. Et elle restera ici jusqu'à ce qu'elle reçoive cette lettre. Elle est une dame très, 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 très entêtée pour ça, vous savez. Et déjà, la presse a téléphoné ici. Et comme vous savez, elle ne veut pas dire quelque chose à la presse avant qu'elle reçoive un mot de vous. Elle veut avoir la lettre. Elle veut aussi rencontrer M. Sao ou Mme Bin ou quelqu'un de la délégation.
Oui. Vous parlerez avec M. Sao, n'est-ce pas?
Oui. Elle veut bien parler avec lui. Croyez-vous qu'elle peut parler maintenant avec lui?
Maintenant, elle n'est pas là. Elle est sortie.
Alors, peut-être elle peut parler dans une demi-heure?
Je ne crois pas, parce qu'il est peut-être il ne revient pas seulement le soir.
Le soir, à quelle heure?
Oui, après le dîner. Hein.
À quelle heure?
Vers 20h, 20h maintenant.
20h, alors elle peut y aller à 20h.
Y aller?
Oui.
Téléphoner, il ne croit pas que s'il est là. Hein. Vous pouvez téléphoner et donner un rendez-vous avec lui pour la rencontre.
Parce qu'elle est libre maintenant, elle peut venir à 20h si c'est possible pour lui, parce que je crois que c'est une très bonne idée pour elle de voir M. Sall tout de suite.
À 20h, vous retéléphonerez seulement.
Pardon?
Vous retéléphonerez à 20h.
À 20h, à cette oui. numéro-ci,
oui.
pour faire un rendez-vous pour ce soir.
Oui.
Très bien, parce que vraiment, elle veut bien cette lettre tout de suite.
Mm.
Et vous comprenez bien qu'elle va téléphoner à 20h à cette numéro pour M. Sao et elle va faire un rendez-vous avec lui. Et si vous voulez, vous pouvez peut-être prendre le numéro de l'hôtel ici. Vous pouvez joindre Mme Schrump ici à Hôtel Hilton.
Attendez, je vais noter.
Très bien.
Allô?
Oui?
J'entends.
C'est le Hôtel Hilton.
Pardon?
Elle est à l'Hôtel Hilton.
Hôtel Hilton?
Oui. Et le numéro du téléphone, c'est
2-7-3-9-2-9-2-2-0.
Et c'est Madame Schrump.
Madame?
Schrump.
Schrump.
Oui, et M. Saint connaît bien ce
oui.
nom parce que c'est lui qui a montré une lettre de son mari.
Oui.
Alors, il connaît bien son nom.
Bon, merci.
Merci, à 20h.
Oui, à 20h.
Et attendez un instant. Alors, elle dit qu'elle veut bien parler ce soir, parce que si elle n'a pas de nouvelles et un rendez-vous et la lettre ce soir, elle est très pressée et la presse demande un rendez-vous avec elle pour demain.
Mm-hmm.
Vous savez ça.
Oui.
Merci beaucoup. parle avec M. Vinsau.
Monsieur Vinsau?
Oui?
Je ne sais pas si c'est une surprise, je vais voir. Hein. Vous attendez un petit instant?
Oui?
C'est la part de qui, s'il vous plaît?
C'est à la part de Madame Schwamp.
Schwamp?
Schwamp, oui.
D'accord. Allô?
Allô, Monsieur Vinsau?
Non, c'est toujours moi. Monsieur Vinsau n'est pas ici, mais par exemple, il est à Massy.
Il est à
Massy, au 920-44-55.
Ah bon? Nous avons déjà essayé ce numéro.
Oui.
Mais vous croyez qu'il est toujours là?
Ah oui, enfin, peut-être que de Massy, il est parti. Quelque part, mais sans doute, il doit toujours y avoir du monde à Massy.
Oui. Alors, merci beaucoup. C'est à la part de Madame Schwamp.
Oui.
Et elle veut bien parler avec lui parce que c'est lui qui a montré une lettre de son mari, le major Raymond Schwamp.
Oui.
C'est ça.
Vous téléphonez à Massy, 920-44-55. Il ne peut être ici car il n'est pas là.
920-44-55. Et c'est quel endroit?
Massy.
Massy?
Oui, c'est la commune.
Oh, c'est une commune?
Oui, enfin une commune, oui.
Oh, et c'est son résidence?
Oui, il est en résidence là-bas.
Ah bon, et c'est en Paris?
Non, c'est en dehors de Paris, c'est dans le Val de... Je crois qu'ici nous sommes dans le... Enfin, je me rappelle, je crois que c'est ici, c'est le Val-de-Marne, il me semble.
Ah, oh, oui, je comprends.
Parce que là où c'est que vous téléphonez, là, ici, c'est à Verrières.
À Verrières.
Et à Verrières, il y a une partie de la délégation.
Oui.
Et il y en a une deuxième partie à Massy.
Ah oui, mais c'est...
Elie Vinsau est dans la deuxième partie à Massy.
Et c'est le même numéro?
Non, c'est pas le même numéro.
Ah bon, mais merci, c'est 920-44-55. Alors, merci beaucoup.
Au revoir, madame.
Ah, merci. Oh, attendez un instant.
Oui.
Alors, croyez-vous que c'est possible de parler avec madame Ben?
Alors là, je ne sais pas. Hein.
Madame Schwamp est ici des États-Unis et tout le peuple américain est très il connaît bien sa problème et vraiment ce sera vraiment très bien si Madame Ben peut parler avec elle.
Écoutez, en ce moment Madame Ben n'est pas là, mais téléphonez toujours à Massy et demandez.
Très bien.
Parce que moi je peux pas vous répondre moi.
Oui, alors l'adresse pour envoyer une lettre, c'est...
Pour envoyer une lettre pour demander à être reçue,
oui,
par Madame Ben.
Oui.
Alors c'est délégation du GRP.
Oui.
29 rue Cambacérès.
29.
Rue
Oui.
Cambacérès.
Oui.
Verrières.
Et le, l'adresse pour Massy, c'est...
Alors là, je ne sais pas l'adresse de Massy.
Vous ne savez pas?
Non.
Non. Alors, mais ça, c'est le numéro téléphone. C'est le
enfin, vous avez le numéro,
oui,
vous pouvez demander.
Oui. Merci beaucoup.
Au revoir, madame.
Oui. Attendez un instant. Vous n'avez pas peut-être une copie de cette lettre que M. Van Sau a montrée?
Ah non, non, je n'ai absolument rien, moi.
Vous n'avez pas... Oui. Alors, merci beaucoup.
Non, mais demandez M. Liven Sao au 920-44-55 à Massy.
Entendu. Merci.
Au revoir, madame.
Au revoir. Monsieur Van Sau?
Monsieur Van Sau n'est pas là.
Alors,
à l'appareil, s'il vous plaît.
Nous avons nous avons fixé l'heure pour téléphoner à Monsieur Van Sau. Je suis une amie de Madame Schrump. Alors, nous avons fixé l'heure, c'est pour 8 heures ce soir.
Pour 8 heures ce soir?
Oui.
Allez,
comme j'ai déjà dit, elle aura une réunion avec la presse du monde. Et elle veut bien parler avec M. Van Sau avant cette réunion.
Voyez-vous, comme vous le savez, nous sommes mercredi, n'est-ce pas? Aujourd'hui, c'est mercredi. Et nous
oui.
avons des préparations très intensives pour la session, pour la prochaine session de la conférence de Paris
oui.
sur le Vietnam.
This is a summary of my meeting with the head of the Foreign Ministry Department of Sweden, Leif Leifland, in Stockholm on March 11th. Meeting began at 4:25 p.m. and last until 6 p.m. Mr. Leifland wanted to be on record very indelibly that what Mr. Palmy has done and is doing, he is doing for humanitarian reasons only, not for any publicity or personal gain that he might get from this. I presented an overall plan which has been discussed elsewhere about the possibility of Sweden becoming a third party and for its efforts in gaining the release of all U.S. prisoners held. Either goods or money would go to them, and with goods only of a non-strategic type going to North Vietnam. I had mentioned this briefly by telephone to Mr. Leifland from Paris last Saturday. Since that time, he said he had had an opportunity to speak by telephone with Mr. Palmy, who is out of the country. and he talked about this in detail. And it was at this point that Mr. Palmy said for Mr. Laflin to tell us officially that he would continue to do all that he could. This must be off the record, no publicity, but he will continue to do off all that he could to get the names of the men and the eventual release. He said that he did agree with our thinking that something is going on in Hanoi, and perhaps in the next 4 weeks we will be hearing much more about the prisoner of war issue. Just what that will it be a total list or what, he is not sure. He went on to say that this feeling was not only shared by those people who were friends of Hanoi, but also by those people throughout the world that he had contact with. He explained in detail how they got the original list. They had submitted the names of the people who had written or wired, or of those few that had come to Stockholm. They submitted these names to the North Vietnamese ambassador that serves Sweden, who lives in Moscow. They submitted these names to him. He, in turn, submitted them to Hanoi. Hanoi, in turn, gave him the information on the 14 names, and the letter, which was written by the ambassador to Sweden from Hanoi, from Moscow, said that he was acting upon orders from Hanoi in stating the following. He listed the 14 men. He also listed the serial numbers, and he listed the dates that these men were captured. In some instances, such as the case of Jerry Singleton, his first name was misspelled, only one R in it, and of course his rank at the time of his capture was listed lieutenant rather than captain, and this proved to be true elsewhere. The spellings were not always the same or correct, and the rank was not always the same, but they double-checked, and he said that the North Vietnamese officials made it very clear to list the dates that the men were captured, and to go on and point out that these men are now alive in North Vietnamese prison camps. Laflin said that after Palmy forwarded the telegrams to the women involved, that he, Laflin, also sent each of them a letter in which he quoted in that letter, specifically verbatim, part of the communique from Hanoi by way of their ambassador. Laflin said another interesting thing in the course of the conversation. It was almost a throwaway line. We were talking about the number of men held, the number of men that North Vietnam holds. And he said, of course, you also have those in Laos, and you have those held by the VC. And he said, you probably have some in China. This is the first time, to my knowledge, that there's ever been mentioned the possibility of men being held in China. He did not elaborate on where he got his information or if it was just an assumption. Laflin went on to say that he thought it would be advisable for us to take the plan that we now have working in a couple of areas that has been presented to us by people allegedly representing North Vietnam, and which we are willing to go along with if we can get the release of all the men. He suggested that we put this into writing, a similar proposal mentioning goods only, and phrase that letter in such a way that Hanoi would not think that we were saying they were in need of anything. In other words, allow them to save some face, a letter directly to Pham Van Dong with the proposal, and then deliver that letter to Pham Van Dong so it will not have to go through the mails or anything, deliver it to a North Vietnamese ambassadorial post somewhere or mission, and let them put it in their diplomatic pouch that goes directly to Hanoi unopened. And he thought that if we did this, it might be interesting the reaction that we would get from Hanoi. He also pointed out that Palmy is coming to the United States tentatively scheduled for the first 2 weeks in June, that he's going to speak at his alma mater, Kenyon College, also the National Press Club. He also will call on his United Nations delegation in New York City. Just where else he will go, that schedule has not been worked out. I pointed out to him that if he would work diligently, Palmy that is, work diligently and obtain the names of all the men held, confirmed names of those men held in the prisons, or better yet, work and get the release of those prior to coming over there, he could come to America as a real hero. and that if we could help him do this in any way, that certainly he should call upon us. Palmy instructed Laflin to tell us that he thought we were now working in the proper way, and that is behind the scenes, discreetly, quietly, with not so much publicity. He said that he was quite certain that Hanoi found it most difficult to understand publicity. Palmy did tell Laflin to say that he was well aware that when names were obtained, such as those 14 he just received, that publicity would accompany those. And he understood this, and he thought Hanoi would understand this. He had no explanation as to why his was the only official list that Hanoi has ever said, yes, we gave this list out. They have never said this about list of names presented by the various peace groups in the country. I left with Laflin a copy of the North Vietnamese prisoners held in Laos, pointed out to him that we had not made this public, but that it should be pointed out to Hanoi, and we hope that he would point out to Hanoi that this is the type of information that we would like to get from them. It's very detailed information. They were welcome to it, although they deny having anybody in Laos. We would love to get the same type of information concerning our men from them. I also left with him the editorials from various American newspapers of recent weeks, which praised the efforts of Mr. Perot and the prisoner of war issue and condemned North Vietnam. I also left with him both the quick readout copy of the Gallup poll plus the detailed copy, and he said that he looked forward to studying this at great length and that he was sure the Prime Minister would look forward to doing the same thing. He also said, Laflin said, that a list of the prisoners being held, American prisoners being held in Hanoi, would be most helpful to them as they carried out their efforts. He said they do not possess such a list at this time. I had a list with me, but I did not leave it with him because I was questioning in my own mind the advisability of this at the present time, since there might still be an outside chance that we can get them to act as the third party in going along with our efforts. Mr. Laflin also said that on Saturday of this week, he is going to preview some film that was done by the Swedish television people who just returned from Hanoi about 3 weeks ago. He does not know what this film has in it, whether it covers any of the prisoner camps or not. However, he said after previewing all the film that he would contact us if it had any information whatsoever or any scenes whatsoever concerning the prisoner of war issue, or if they gained any information while they were there about the prisoner of war issue. I think the end result of the meeting is the fact that they continue to have a better understanding of us, a greater appreciation of us, and I wouldn't at all be too surprised to see them think about this for a while and come back in a rather subtle manner and say that, yes, they would help. I am not sure that I totally believe Laflin when he says that Palmy is in this strictly for a humanitarian aspect, particularly when he is talking about not wanting any publicity at all, because the information in Sweden is that Palmy likes publicity. I think more realistically, if he is afraid of anything, he does not want Hanoi to think that he is in it for strictly publicity. He does not want them to think that he is using them, so to speak, for personal gain. I also left with Mr. Laflin three detailed sheets on the other wives from the Dallas area, Mrs. McElhannon, Mrs. Jeffrey, and Mrs. Hartness, all information about their husbands, their addresses, and so forth, and he's going to pursue these efforts again. We cannot talk about it, but he's going to pursue it rather quickly. He intimated that it was rather difficult to get information out of Laos, which once again points up that perhaps Laos, the Pathet Lao, and the North Vietnamese are holding more prisoners in Laos proper than we perhaps thought. Maybe they're not taking all of them on into Vietnam. Mr. Laflin also said that he would try to pass along at the right moment. He would try to get the North Vietnamese to understand that they should see us quietly, without fanfare, and hear what we have to say when we call on them, and not adopt the attitude that they have in recent days of refusing to have top men see us and instead delegating us to chargé d'affaires and the lower echelon personnel of the various embassies. Regarding the meeting between Mai Van Bo and John Saint-Denis, Mr. Saint-Denis had dinner with Mai Van Bo last night in Paris. That would be March 10th, 1970. Mr. Saint-Denis, I talked to him this morning before I left Paris, and he said that Mai Van Bo does not wish to see me at this time, but what he thinks that means is that Mai Van Bo has to check with Hanoi to see if they would like for him to see me or some representative of United We Stand. Mr. Saint-Denis did deliver personally to Mai Van Bo the Gallup poll readout, the editorials from the various papers. He also gave him a copy of the children's letters, as I also left with Lafland this afternoon. But Mr. Saint-Denis today said not to be too optimistic in expecting to hear from Mai Van Bo in the near future. He just thinks that they're afraid to do any business with us because they still think that there's a tie-in with government on our part. By the way, I spoke to Mr. Saint-Denis about the possibility of doing some specialized work for us as a representative in Paris, and he said that he was not in position to do this, could not do this.